Let's turn tonight to the book of Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. 1 Samuel, in case you don't know where it is. It's one of the first things I require Bible school students to do is to memorize the books of the Bible. And I always catch one to ask them to turn to Hezekiah 3:1. And they'll start looking, looking, looking. They'll go to the index and they'll look at me. There's no Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king, but there's no book. And some just smile because they know. And I tell them, if you go someplace to a church service and they ask you to find a scripture and you can't find it, and they'll say, what school did you go to? Can't find Ezra, can't find Nehemiah, can't find Esther. It's a good place to start, knowing the books of the Bible. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of her place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went out on the way to return unto the land of Judah. This morning, we heard about the water. Tonight, we'll hear about the bread. Ruth was a Moabitess. The book's entitled The Book of Ruth. It describes the story of this young woman coming out of Moab, going to Bethlehem, Judah, becoming married to Boaz, and this Moabitess is found in the lineage of Christ. There's death in Moab. Elimelech, his wife, his two sons, leave Bethlehem and go to Moab, looking for something better. The church has traveled into Moab. Looking for something better. That land of Moab is a land of idolatry, paganism. The goddess of fertility, the pagan gods, the mother-infant worship. That would one day form the Roman Catholic Church. Nowhere in your Bible will you find where we're told to pray to Mary. But in Moab, they worship the goddess of fertility, the gods of the land, the gods of Egypt, the gods of Babylon, the gods of the plain. These were all pagan gods that were very well familiar to the Israelites in the time of the Bible. And today we have the same religious spirit that is at work in the land. The church today is trying to find satisfaction in the land of Moab. Trying to find satisfaction in their religion, in their formality, in their way of false worship. Now we understand, I trust, that much of what is being taught today in the lands is false. Many gather today, even in this city, and they're not worshiping the true God, Jehovah. They have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. Elimelech means God is king. God is king. But God cannot be king in Moab. So Elimelech died in Moab. Because God can only be king in Bethlehem. Bethel means the house of God. Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Judah means praise. Praise. There's bread in the house of God. There's bread in the house of God. But in the house of man, there is famine. In the house of the false church, there is death and destruction. Elimelech had two sons. They were in trouble. The naming of children was very important in Bible times because the names had significance. Mahlon means sickly. Sickly. Chilion means weak. The church today is producing weakness and sickness. Many churches today, there are no converts because the church is not healthy. It takes a healthy body to produce healthy offspring. And when there is sickness and weakness, what is produced is sickly and weak. And I believe that God desires to do work in this church, that which is produced is not sickly and weak, but that which is produced of God, not a work of man, not a work of this congregation, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And only as we allow the God of heaven to birth a work in our spirit, can we be in the place to produce a whole healthy converts. In Acts chapter 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The church was birthed that day on the day of Pentecost. That was not an undertaking of humanity. That was not a work of Peter and James and John. That was a work of God. Jesus said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." How shall we witness? How can we witness? People say, "I can't witness. I cannot do that." Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and it will no longer be a problem. There will be no fear. There will be no hesitancy. There will be clear direction from God. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. But we need to come out of that land of death and weakness and destruction. Come out of Moab. Come out of Moab. Oh, thank God. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them. And she was left in Moab, in a pagan land, with two daughters-in-law. And these daughters-in-law, they began to go back to Bethlehem. She rose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return, oh God, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life." He is the manna in the wilderness. He is the King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the great God, Jehovah, so worthy to be praised. And he has visited his people in giving them bread. Oh, I thank God the Bible tells us there will come a time that there'll be a famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of the Word of God. And today in the land there is a famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of the Word of God. In this land of America and around the world, where I've traveled only to a few countries, but there is a famine around the world of the hearing of the Word of God, of the truth, of the life, and of the way, of the true Word of God. There is compromise today. There is mixture today. There is paganism today that has crept into the church. But thank God, in Bethlehem, Judah, in the house of bread, it is the house of bread. It's the house of God. And you'll find that place, Bethel, that's the place of building the altar. Abram went to Bethel and he built an altar. Jacob went to Bethel and he built an altar. Isaac went to Bethel and he built an altar. It's the house of God. It's the place of building the altar. It's that place of meeting with God. We need to meet with God and have him meet with us. We come to meet with the God of heaven, not to sing just songs, not just to come and take up time, but we come to have God do work in our lives by the Holy Spirit of the living God, to reach his hand down in and to breathe, to breathe, to breathe the breath of life upon this congregation and on this city of Manchester, that the God of heaven heaven will work a work by his divine hand and manifest his power one more time, that this city will know there's bread, there's bread, there's bread. The Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. Amen. She heard, but she had to go. She went forth out of the place where she was. She was in Moab. If this church today wants the power of God, they've got to come out of their place. Ruth was raised a pagan. Ruth was raised in idolatry. She was raised in a land of death. The city of Moab, the country of Moab, was a land of pleasure. Pleasure seekers. Immorality. These pagan countries were filled with immorality. Drinking. Filth, to put it plain. Sin. Come out of her, my people. There was mentioned today, I know in some churches, they'll amen you. I was in one church here in Manchester, and I was preaching, and I heard amen, amen, amen. Then I hit that television, and I heard, oh my, oh my, oh my. Come out of the place. Come out of Moab. Oprah. Oprah. Sounds like Oprah, but not Oprah. Oprah. Same thing. Oprah. She started to go. But her heart was in Moab. But Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Your God, the God of Bethlehem, Judah, the God of Jehovah. We've heard in the hearing of our ear about this God, Jehovah, about the great God that led Israel out of Egypt, about the plagues that came on Egypt by this great God, Jehovah, the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that parted the Jordan River for Joshua, this great God, Jehovah, his name, his fame had been heard throughout all of those pages. pagan lands, all of those pagan countries, they'd heard of this God, Jehovah. He is the I Am. Thank God. Hallelujah. Your God shall be my God. Ruth had to leave the place where she was. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. This bread. Oh, this bread. The Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. To some, it looks like there's life in Moab. To some, it looks like there's activity in Moab. We pass by some of these mega churches, and they've got their big facilities. They've got their movie theater churches. They've got buildings and large screen TVs. I went into one church for a high school graduation. One of my nieces went to a Christian school, and they held the graduation in one of the local churches because it had a big auditorium. The Vineyard. The Vineyard is about as pagan as you can get. And I hope it's on tape. I'll say it again. The Vineyard is as pagan as you can get. It is not of God. It is not a church. It is not the Holy Ghost. It is in Moab. They've got their form. They've got their religion. They sing their songs, but they do not know Jesus Christ. They do not know the God of heaven. And there's death in Moab. There's death in that land of Moab. And we went into that building for that graduation, and we walked into the entryway, and there is a coffee shop in the entryway. There's cafe tables in the entryway. The men's room was bigger than this whole church. But there's death! Oh God. Oh God. Oh, God. Come out. She went forth out of the place where she was. Oprah started out, but Oprah didn't make it all the way. She was not determined. We sing a song, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. We understand in these last days that God has a plan to pour out His Spirit and to manifest His power, but we need to learn that God wants to give us His bread, His truth, His life. There's life in Jesus Christ. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, and many have fallen prey to the devil's devices. There is an adversary, and he is real. The thief comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. There's life in Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. In Him is life, and the life is the light of man. We need to understand that in this world of sin, there is death. In the church of compromise, there is death, but there's bread. And I believe that God has determined a time of His visitation, that God has predetermined before the foundations of the earth. God has set forth a time timetable of manifesting his power in the wilderness. The children of Israel, they murmured and they complained. You brought us here to die. God brought them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to get Egypt out of them. God wants to take Egypt out of your heart, that you can cross the Red Sea and cross into that inheritance we've been talking about this morning. The Jordan River is not a place of death. It's a place of crossing over into Canaan's land and driving back the Philistine and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and saying, God is God. Even as David stood that day before Goliath and he said, you come with a sword and with a shield and a spear, but I come in the name. I come in the name. I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And today, Goliath, you are going down. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And they came to the wilderness and they murmured, we should have died in Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. Were there not graves in Egypt? Oh, the pastor preaches too long and they sing too long and there's too many services. We're meeting 3 nights a week. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's complaining. I'm missing my favorite TV show. I gotta go on Wednesday and Friday night to prayer, and they pray for a half an hour and then they teach for a half an hour. They go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. What is it? What is it? What is it? It's on the ground. What is it? We're hungry. What is it? What is it? Manna, manna, manna. What is it? Manna. It's bread. It's bread. It's bread. What is it? It's bread that fell on the dew. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsting soul. We need the bread. What is it? What is it? It's bread. It's bread. It's bread. Amen. Hallelujah to God. There's a time of visitation. There's a day of visitation. And some were trying to understand 1 Peter 1:3-5, that inheritance. You'll get it. You'll understand it. For those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in the day, oh, thank God, in the day of His visitation. We've heard, oh God, that faith arise. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. As we understand the Word, as we understand the promises of God that are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, to them that believe. For the glory of God by us, we can hang on to the Word of God. The Word is bread. What is the bread? It's the Word. The Word is bread. We need to take the bread of life. We need to eat the bread of life. The Lord visited. He came down. He visited. He visited His people in giving, giving, giving. We've got to go there. We're going. We're going to the bread. Where's the bread? It's in Bethlehem. It's in the house of bread. There's no bread in Moab. There's death. There's death. There's a day of visitation at hand. God has ordained from before the foundation of the earth. God has set forth a timetable. God has set forth times of visitation. He has set forth times to manifest His power. He has set forth the timing of the rain. We talked this morning in the Sunday school about God sending His rain in due season. God sent the rain. There was a pattern of the rain every single year. The rain fell. There was the former rain, the early rain before the harvest. There was the time of the planting, the time of the sowing. Then there was rain throughout the time of the year to develop that crop, develop that fruit, that it might grow to produce. But at the very end, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. At the very end, oh, blessed be the name of the living God. At the very end, the last rain, the last rain, the latter rain, the final rain was the greatest rain every single year, every time it was the greatest rain. Can we understand that truth? Can we understand that concept that the greatest rain fell every single year right before the final harvest to prepare the fruit to be mature, to be complete, to be perfected, to be made into the image of His Son? What will it take? It will take the rain. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, or He planned to be conformed, to be made into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. How will that be? How can we do that? We cannot. It is a work of God. It is not a work of man. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, and it will take the rain to fall one more time. There must be a visitation of God in these last days to bring in one more harvest. God, give us a harvest in Mexico. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. God, mighty God, shaka tapa ko, oh kora bora shaka tapa, oh kora bora shaka tapa. God has ordained days of visitation. He ordained the day of Pentecost. There have been many revivals. Days of visitation. Oh, God. The first great awakening. Who was John Wesley? His father had been a parish preacher. Wesley studied came to America, tried to be a missionary, not much success. Wesley was trying to find God in his own means through a rigorous prayer and exercise and holy living. He wasn't born again. When God got a hold of Wesley, and Wesley got a hold of God, and he was expelled from his church, banned from the Church of England, And he stood up on his father's tomb outside the Epworth Church. One estimate was 15,000 people gathered to hear John Wesley preach. Could a man produce that? No. God planned a time of visitation. This bread! I visited my people with bread! George Whitefield, much of New England was traversed by these men. We can't speak about New England without talking about Jonathan Edwards, Northampton, Massachusetts. He read word for word from a paper, a sermon. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. There was no power of delivery. There was no power of oration. There was no dynamics of preaching and delivery ability. A man just simply read a message that God had birthed in his spirit upon his heart. And as he read the message, the people cried and groaned and hung on to the pillars of the church and said, "Stop! You're sending us into hell!" There was a time of visitation. Which we call the Second Great Awakening. A visitation. A visitation. Oh, God. Charles Grandison Finney. The revival fire swept New York. God visited his people in giving them bread. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Dwight Lyman Moody, from the foothills of Massachusetts, God brought him around the world. Was it Moody? Oh, no. God visited. God visited. God visited. The turning of the century. Azusa Street. California Revival. Maple Street. There were other streets involved beside Azusa Street. Tent meetings on Manly Street in L.A. where the bars went out of business. Where all the streetwalkers got saved. And the alcoholics got saved and born again by the power of God. And revival that's attributed with bringing Pentecost around the world. Why? Because God visited. In the 1950s, was it men? No. God visited. Jack Cole was just a man. And I'm saddened to talk about Oral Roberts. But then, God visited. He went back to Moab. Oh, God. Roberts died in Moab. Let there be a warning to us. But God visited. stories of fire trucks being called. And Alan's tent. And different tent meetings. They called the fire trucks because they saw a fire on the tent. Oh, God. He visited. There's been a dearth of the hearing of the Word of God. If we understand the biblical rain pattern correctly, that was the pattern. No rain. Dry, empty, barren. But it's not over. It's not over. The Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. But it's not in Moab. It's not going to be in this charismatic mess of the Benny Hinn's and the Joyce Meyers and the T.D. Jakes. Rod Parsley's slime snake. There's no bread in Moab. So many have gone back into Moab. Somebody that came out of that Azusa Street revival came out of those revivals at the turn of the century. The Pentecostal churches of today that were birthed in power, they have gone back to Moab and there's death! But there's some Ruths. Oh God. Yeah. There's some Ruths gonna come out. Don't kick them all. Don't trot them all down. Don't cast stones at all. There's some roots. There's some roots we can lead out of Moab. And they'll marry. They'll marry Boaz. Boaz means the Lord is strength. He's a type of Christ, the kinsman redeemer. Oh, God, that's another message. That's another message. Ruth marries Boaz, and he paid for her. He purchased her! He paid the price of redemption. Look up. Lift up your heads for what? Your redemption. Glory! Your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, God. I pulled this wagon. Let me ride it for a while. Glory! There's a day of visitation! They laugh at us, they mock at us, we're legalists, we're fanatics, we're old fashioned, we're old school, we're holy rollers. Thank God! Thank God, ask for the old paths and walk therein! Where is the God of Elijah? Oh, God. Where is the God of Elijah? Oh, God. The sons of the prophets. Elijah. Oh. Swing low, sweet chariot, and let me ride. Go on up. Out of that chariot, there's a mantle. The calling, the anointing, the Spirit. I felt that so strong, Brother Nathan. Your grandfather carried a mantle. It's going to rest on you. And His prayer, His fasting, His sacrifice, His journey. You'll weep. But God honors the prayers of those that have passed. He doesn't forget His promises. J.O. Davis got a hold of God. God said, I'll do it. I'll do it! I'll do it! Devil tried to take him out! But he didn't win! You know what that Jordan crossing represents? Oh, God. When Joshua crossed the Jordan, what was on the other side? The promised land. The covenant. The promise. I'm going through. Then the sons of the prophets knew the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. Oh! Before it comes to an end, I will send my prophet. That's why I named my son Elijah. An end time anointing. Give it to him, Lord. We might get a Rebecca someday. Can't name a boy Rebecca. I've been trying. She's the type of the bride. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Brother Nathan preached it. I shared upon it. The anointing! The anointing! The sick will rise. Oh, God. We're going to come back with testimonies of how God visited us in Mexico City. I'm looking for angels. Oh, yeah. Praise God. I ain't putting that down. I'll go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. John the Baptist. He's a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight, straight, straight. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He stood against those religious hypocrites. Oh yeah. Why do you name names? Because Benny Hinn's the devil, that's why. John the Baptist did it. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree, and every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Cast that tree down. Put it in the fire. No fruit. No fruit. No fruit. No fruit. No fruit. We need the rain. God, give us the rain. God, give us the rain to produce the fruit. He preached it straight. He preached repentance. And he preached against religion. Oh God. Oh God. John was a forerunner. We want to be Pentecostal on a time clock. God move before 8:30, then we'll give you praise. God pour out your spirit. But be done by 8:45. I gotta get up and go to work. When I hear stories of those men that worked all day in the fields, hitched up the mule to go into town to the revival meeting, stayed there till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, got back at the breaking of the dawn, and went back into the fields day in and day out, catching a few hours here and there, and getting back to the revival. We gotta get back to the revival. Get us back to the revival. Get us back to the revival! Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 God is raising up forerunners before that great and dreadful day of the Lord come. Who's he? I don't know. Never heard of him. What's he got in his hand? Devil! Take it. Who is he? Never heard about him. Who's this gringo? I don't know, but there's a power about him. There's something about him. The gates of hell cannot prevail. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, mighty God. The Holy Ghost has spoken to us tonight. There will be revival in New England. You read about the workings of Paul. When Paul journeyed, he set up church in Antioch. Why? Because God chose Antioch because it was a main thoroughfare. It was a main city. It was a main trade. And from there, men were sent out from Antioch. Men were sent out, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and John Mark, Timothy. They went forth empowered by the Holy Ghost. But God set up some stations to send them forth. And Manchester is going to be a station that God is going to raise up men to send them forth to a lost and dying world. The devil's had his time. And he said, those people, he's tried to take you out. He tried to take you down. He tried to discourage you, Sister V. But you hung on. You hung on. And God has a plan. Every move of God has come where people have come together for the purpose of seeking God to do just that. We need an object to our prayer. Our prayer needs an objective. We need rain.
Yes, hallelujah.
We need rain.
Hallelujah.
This death in Moab. We got to bring the church out of Moab and put it in